Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. Alhamdulillah, the day today is the 28th of Dhul Hijjah 1446. Let's welcome Mulana Salman Yunus. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. How's Mulana keeping?
Alhamdulillah, all well in Africa.
Alhamdulillah. How's Durban? Anything? When we say what's the latest, we mean what's the latest fitna there in Durban?
No, alhamdulillah. I don't know. I've been quite occupied recently, so nothing came to my attention, nor did I see anything or hear of anything. So, thank you for that, alhamdulillah. If you don't hear anything or we come across anything, then we need lots of shukar for that day, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Mulana sells cars, I see on your status. You sell cars?
Now and then we sell a few cars.
Inshallah. You must send to us, then maybe we'll advertise for you also.
Inshallah. No problem. Joburg is flooded. The market is flooded there. It's more easier to pick up in Joburg than Durban.
And for these things, you've got to have an eye for it. I see like some of these mechanics and that you take the car to them, and or some of these inspectors. So because they have the eye for it and they're looking for, they know what to look for, they'll tell you this car has been in an accident. Sometimes, I know of times when I had a car and they would say that I said to them that no, there was no accident, because that's what I believe. It was a used car that I bought. Then they would say no, it wasn't an accident, and they'll show me how you see this, that, the other. So certain things we can't see, but through their experiences, then you learn now. You learn to see this. It's much like also purchasing a sheep. Sometimes you'll see people just see the size of it. And then they take it home, they see, hey, there's the ear is a bit cut off. Whereas those are the things you're first supposed to see for. So having an eye for certain things, and I think with cars especially, you've got to know how to see, is it code 3, is it this, is it that. So I'm sure Mulana has experience now with this.
Like any field, as you say, you have to get the expert in it, and as you learn, then you pick up more and you realize more. So like if you're sick, you won't realize what sickness you got. But when you go to the doctor, just by seeing your eyes, just by seeing your condition, he'll be able to diagnose you and know how to treat you. But likewise with the car, a person who is in the field, then his eye is already ready to pick up certain, what was his signals or certain signs or aspects on the car, to know whether what damage it was. And I think this is a very pertinent example, one from what we've been discussing for many weeks, that we might think that we know Deen, and we might think we can pick up certain aspects of Deen. But when we sit with the professionals, we will say the ulama al-haq or al-kabirin, and they have been trained long in the field. And now we have these scholars that are just waking up overnight. They don't know how to address the issues because they're still new to it. What they might not realize, as they might think of a temporary solution, and people will say, yeah, it looks good. Our kabirin has a foresight which they can see that, you know what, if this is done now, later on this problem is going to come up. So that's how we realize the expert is needed in every field, and we realize our weaknesses in those fields. Likewise, when it comes to our deen, we have to trust the experts, that is our mashayikh, our kabirin, the ulama, they'll be able to diagnose us. They'll be able to know our spiritual condition with us, telling them, and they give the proper treatment. Also with deen in current times, they know exactly how we should be doing deen, following deen, how to adapt our lives to Deen, not adapt Deen to our lives. Because Deen doesn't change, but our lives change. So like you say, alhamdulillah, we find that we have to stick to them. Otherwise, we might think we know something, but they know far greater.
And just this morning, adding to this topic, I know we've been speaking about this, and it's actually a brilliant topic because it's sort of a bridge that you're building between the youth and the elderly, because the youth nowadays, they consider the elderly because they are not so perhaps techno-savvy and the rest. So they consider them as perhaps useless, which is unfair. And actually, those youth are depriving themselves. Just this morning, I was seeing, this is Israeli Times. So they said they put down, the Mujahideen put down seven of the members, soldiers. They won't say terrorists, in there, so soldiers. But the other sources told us it's much more, it's 14 and 16 have been injured. So we'll trust the other sources much more. But when you compare the ages of these people, this thought came to mind then, and this is where this all fits in. If you see those who are slain, because Israeli Times put it, they are 19, 20, 21, 22. If we see the Hamas leaders that have been martyred in recent times, they were over 60. And very seldomly would you find a youngster of 20, 22, 23. And it just shows that these people have, because as you've said, experience. You've been through the mill. They've been fighting for so long. They understand the guerrilla warfare. They understand where's what. And you coming new on the scene as a squatter soldier, and you're trying to fight these men who are, they don't shake in difficult situations. They're not playing games or something. This is a reality. And for them, one person made a statement, it still seems like they're playing video games behind the screen. So when they face to face that awe, which Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about, سَنُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعْبِ, very soon we'll place in the hearts of the people of kufr that ra'b, that frightening fear. And this is what they cannot manage and deal with. Whereas these experienced men, alhamdulillah, Allah grant them tawfiq and understanding and carry on with this courageous effort. And I like the statement someone put out, when all have put their weapons down, meaning Iran and all, now we see who are those, the true men, the Mujahideen, continuing to fight. Who are the ones fighting for Muslim Islam? Jimulana, you can share with us your thoughts.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. As we take lessons from everything around us also, then we should realize more and more. It should push us more towards the deen. The one is people, like we were saying recently with all the imports coming to South Africa. One is, if you look back down the line, like even not too long ago, when we were growing up, then we had that full trust in the ulama, full trust. There wasn't this difference of what we'll say, following deen. Everyone understood the teachings of deen and they understood you have to uphold it nevertheless. But as you say, closer to Qiyamah, the fitnas will keep on rolling. And one of the fitnas that is very apparent at times, is that we'll see we get leaders that will misguide the Ummah. That's why if you look at the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how true it is. Every single hadith, when we analyze it and we see it unfolding before our eyes, we realize just how truthful and how pure Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that he fears more than the Dajjal for this Ummah, he fears the misguided scholars. And when one has to analyze that there, and if you look at it back, when there wasn't, what we say, much misguided scholars, it wasn't so popular, then we couldn't really truly understand it, but we accepted it because of the words of Nabi Sallam. But in today's time, we can see the reality of what the misguided scholars are doing to the Ummah in a false facade, in a false image that they are putting forward being. Thousands, if not millions, are getting Muslims because they are believing this to be deen. On the other hand, we've got the ulama that are still fighting for the pure deen, the correct deen, what needs to be upheld. And now because of our nafsaniyat and our wounds and our desires, obviously to follow those, what we'll say, modern ulama and secular ulama, becomes much more enjoyable and easier because it's exactly what we want. And we're getting the, what we'll say, the covering of deen over it because we're using them to justify. Whereas to follow the ulama in haq, then to follow that day takes a toll on our nafs, it takes strain, it takes complete courage and ifa'a to Allah Ta'ala. That I have to follow this because I know this is correct. And when one enters into that day, you'll see the whole land will be peaceful. But what of the fitna of the time is that this loss of trust within the ulama, and if the awam, if the general public loses this trust that I need to turn to the ulama, if they lose this, they say, you know what, I rather see myself because I don't know what to do with the ulama, then there's more astray. It will be led more astray. So this is the fitna of our time that we are truly facing. And we have to see It's very simple. It's not even a brain wrecker to even try to understand. So many students ask, and all you have to ask them is, from everything you've learned so far, we've taught you, and you are asking about certain ulama, I'm not going to give you the answer. But for yourself, think about it. Which of them are following according to what we have learned from everything when it comes to our salah, our qidah, our fiqh and masail? Which of them are following it more perfectly? And that will be your answer. There's no need for anyone to have to prove to you, you know, this is the ulama you have to follow. We have, alhamdulillah, learned a certain amount of deen. And from our own brain, Allah has given us with intelligence. We can see what is right, what is wrong. But this brings us to the next challenge which we have mentioned about a little bit regarding the youth, and we touched about it last week, that parents need to understand also that the challenges facing the youth of today is never and can never be compared to when they were growing up. It's worlds apart. Worlds apart. Sometimes the father will tell the child, I was growing up, I didn't bother about girls. But at that time, there wasn't that amount of what we'll say, apparentness or exposure of women in such a manner as we see today. So for us to just tell the child, no, don't, just ignore it. It cannot be done. We have to address the issue directly. And many a time you find that, alhamdulillah, the ulama are trying to address it and they are speaking about it, but then it comes the backlash from the parents. The parents will come and say, you know, but why are you speaking about this? My child doesn't know about this. And we want to laugh, or we don't know what to do to those parents in their face, because we are teaching those children. We can hear what they're talking about during class, or while they are still busy getting ready. We know exactly what thoughts are in their mind and what knowledge they already have. And it's far greater than the parents could ever fathom of the stuff they're exposed to, of the things they know already at such a young age. We could think only later on in life they find out about. But they know all about it. And if we are not going to tackle this by the head and address it to them and teach them the correct way of these things from now, then they're going to learn it in the incorrect manner, via the incorrect friend, via the incorrect scholar, via the YouTube, the Google. And once you learn something incorrectly, or even if you learn something for the first time, whether it's correctly or incorrectly, after that to change their understanding is very difficult. So we are faced with the challenges of today, especially the youth, of how to manage all this exposure, all this knowledge that is coming and information that is coming in their brain. They are at times so overwhelmed that they have to be addressed. They have to be tackled directly. You can't, you know, you say before, speak in indirect terms. But those indirect terms now has to be forgotten. Now, as we say even of the enemies of Islam, we have to speak out directly, because there's no need anymore to say, you know what, people don't know about it, so don't expose it if they don't know. Today the whole world is a global village, and everyone knows everything that is happening. And especially our youth, we have to work on them. Last week we touched about this here, and just to quickly follow up on this, inshallah, that, you know, when we use the word youth, then generally a person will think of a child, will think of a school-going kid. But if you look at the different interpretations of the word youth in Islam, according to the mashayikh, some give it to the age of 30, some to the age of 33, some to the age of 40. So this youth bracket, I know generally even when we have in the youth program, then we expect only school-going kids to come. Whereas, as long as we're in that prime of our life, we've got that energy, we've got that vigor, the zeal to do whatever we can, we are still considered that youth. And looking at the different interpretations of it, and most likely if you look at it, even till the age of 33 or 40, that is the age in a person's life, a person is still considering, you know what, I'm old now. Whereas he's still got all the capabilities to do whatever is needed. So this youth, when we say youth, because of we've been indoctrinated that a youngster is going to school and he's a youth, and as soon as you're 21 or 18, according to legal limits, now you're an adult, according to that terminology. But when this word youth is used, it's regarding that age group. We're not talking about when you become mukallaf to Allah Ta'ala, when you are now, the laws of Islam is incumbent. That's as soon as you become guru. We're talking about this phase of life, because we say a sheikh also in Islam is considered as an old person. So these are all different phases of a person's life. So when you consider the youth, sometimes a person can be young even. We'll say 30, 33, he can be a father even, but he can be considered that youth. And we've mentioned, yes, last week, the hadith regarding that the first question a person will be asked, or one of the first questions a person will be asked, is about his youth and how did he utilize it. Because this will show you in itself that on the day of Qiyamah, amongst the five Christians, if this is included in there, how important this phase of life is. That amongst all the phases of life, Allah chose this youth phase to ask you how you utilize this youth. And this is a phase of life everyone dreams to be in it forever. So that's when he is the most powerful. That is when he is the most productive. And towards the end, inshallah, we'll just look at one more hadith, which we'll see the great reward of a person spending his youth in the correctness. But again, remember, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the hadith, value your youth before your old age. Before your old age. And as we say, we have to keep the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Quran in front of us at all times. And when we look at life, then we bring these hadith and Quran hadith alive within us. And we see many times we go to the masajid, and then you see the elderly, they're sitting on the chair, and you look at them, and then you speak to them, and they say, you know, how I wish I can make sajda again. How I wish I can put my head on the floor again. But I can't make it. If I go down, I can't come back up. How I wish to read my full salah in the proper manner. So once we got that health, once we got that ability to read our salah correctly, now we find that many times, majority of the masajid are emptied of the youth. Now when we're in that time where we can obey Allah Ta'ala, where we can read our salah correctly as shown to us by Nabi Sallam in the manner how Nabi Sallam performed it, then we need to capitalize on that. And this is where we'll say the parents come into play. That remember, at the end of the day, the parents got the final say. No one else can have control, and parents don't like it when others want to advise them of the children. They feel, you know, like disgraced or humiliated. This is my child. But if you do not want to do the job, then someone else realizes the potential of your child, realizes the ability of your child. They want the best for your child. And when you want the best, they want the best deen for your child. So if you're not going to do it, and others are going to come, we get the alhamdulillah, the Jamaat brothers coming, telling brothers, come out, 3 days, 40 days, school holidays are coming up now, alhamdulillah, July, long break, almost 3 weeks plus. So when they are coming to advise you, because they are understanding in their community what is happening to the youth, the drug, the late night, the woman, whatever it might be, when they have that free time, and you are not there as a parent to make sure they are utilizing it productively, then those who have true concern for the ummah, they want to see that they are being done. So as parents, firstly, we have to realize, if we first not going to the masjid, then very seldom we'll find our child going. Unless that child is linked up to the ustad or linked up to the alim, then you will barely find that child in the masjid if that parent is not going. And together with that parent going, remember once we were going for Gush, and then we went to meet one father, and he was just leaving, it was just before Isha time, and he was just leaving to come to the masjid. And he said, you know what, hey, I'll sit for the program in the masjid. I'm just going to the masjid. But my child is back home, why you don't bring him to the masjid? Why you don't bring him to the masjid? So now, you think to yourself, if the father couldn't bring the child, then who is the child going to listen to? Yes, before, the ustad used to have that strong push. If the ustad said something, the parents listened, the child listened, everyone listened. No one thought of saying anything. And the ustad had the best interest for the child. But in today's time, we see that it's more than anything, the rights of the child over the parents, over the ustad, over everyone. And then it comes the rights of the parents over the ustad. So when we turn the table, when we never want to give deen the first preference, we never want to give those that have the best interest of our deen the first preference, then we see this turmoil happening in the world. So the youth, we have to bring them first to the masjid, connect them to the masjid, link them to the masjid. And I remember how it used to be, we play soccer around the masjid, we ride our bicycles, salah time comes, everyone knew, there the masjid shoe racks are full of the bicycles, full of the children's shoes. Where has that environment gone? Because we have isolated everything away from the masjid and made it so difficult for even whatever the youngsters might be doing, for them to come to the masjid. This is why we are seeing this difficulty, but we still have to take that initiative. But if we know our children are at certain places, salah time comes, we have to make the arrangements. We can't trust them to do anything. We have to make the arrangements. So this youth comes once in a life. Once in your entire life, this phase of youth comes. And we have to capitalize it. Because we're going to see in the hadith, only once in our life we're going to get the chance to fall under these fortunate and blessed category of people, inshallah. And our youngsters also, we need to keep them in that mature mind. As you say, we want mujahideen, we want people that are in the path of Allah Ta'ala, fighting for the cause of Allah Ta'ala. But if they only know video games, if they only know to chat online and follow social media, then where is that spur going to come? And many times people say, we are ready for jihad, ready for jihad. But we tell them, mashallah, very good intention you've got. But where is the jihad for Fajr Salah? Where, we don't find you in the masjid. Where is the jihad on your eyes, controlling the gaze? How many women folk, how many wives they are, they are complaining about this mixing of men and women, my husband and the other woman. So whilst we have a big say, we want to go for jihad, but in our business too, are we following the teachings of deen? All this is first incumbent upon us. If we can't realize the seriousness of this, where are we prepared to give our lives for Allah Ta'ala? Where are we prepared to take that pain? Otherwise, when the pain comes, we'll start crying and we'll run away. And what stern warnings Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave for those that sleep on the battlefield. But all that will come when the initial happenings in our life is connected to Allah, because our iman will get strong, realizing everything needs to be done by Allah Ta'ala, everything needs to be done according to how Allah Ta'ala wants it. So now when we're in that battlefield, now we'll realize the virtues of jihad, we'll realize the strength that will come. But if I'm going to die at that huge reward that has been promised, then only will we be able to be ready for jihad. And you look at the leaders of today, and you'll say, look at the leaders. Where have they gone astray? Look at how he is leading. Look at where is he being. What is happening? It's honor for the world. But the leaders of today came out of their death because of the upbringing. If we want our youth to be that future proper deendar Muslim leader of the world, of the country, then we have to start from now. If we look, we go into the story of Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahimahullah, then we look at, I think his name was, I forgot his name now, of his sheikh, of his ustad, Alim Gedi, if I'm not mistaken, or something to that effect. How he worked on Salahuddin, it wasn't just all of a sudden thing. It was from a young age that Salahuddin was now able to go and conquer Palestine, Palestine, because of that upbringing that Deen Dad was given to him. And on that ship, as we see how it happened, how he formed the Salah, if you go into these stories, we'll realize it wasn't just a sudden thing, I'm going for jihad. It was a whole years of preparation, whole years of preparation. And the more we are going to focus our kids, the more we are going to focus our kids on dunya, and tell them about study, tell them about this degree, that degree, and these jobs, then their minds are going to fall away from these. Their minds are going to fall away from Akhirah. We're not going to have that youth of like how Ismail alayhi salam was. We just learned recently of the story of Ismail alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, where he was ready to submit immediately to the command of Allah Ta'ala, even if it meant that his life was at stake. And Allah Ta'ala said so beautifully, إِنَّ كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Definitely, without a doubt, we reward the good doers. So if we want our children's future to be sorted out, Allah is giving us a recipe here. Allah will reward the good doers. We have to make our children from amongst the good doers, those that obey Allah, those that fulfill the command of Allah, and Allah Ta'ala will take care of the rest of them. So just to conclude on the hadith I was going to speak about, Allah Ta'ala in the hadith Nabi Sallam mentioned, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be categories of people that will be under the arsh, the shade of the arsh of Allah. And amongst the various categories, one is that young, one is the person linked to the masjid, one is the person who stood away from zina. And one of the categories is that youngster that utilizes his youth in the obedience of Allah. That youngster that utilizes his youth in the obedience of Allah. Again, this shows the importance of this phase of life. That if you utilize it correctly, what a great favor. Sometimes we just hear it, but put it into perspective. This is VIP treatment. This is like you're not standing out in the long queues in the Safa line. This is you getting pulled in. You are saying, come into air condition. We are welcoming you. We've got all the fruits for you. We've got all the food for you. You come in and wait here till your turn. Who doesn't want that there? Imagine, and if you are treated so well on your waiting, imagine how everything else will go. Far better. If just this was the waiting period, you got treated so incredibly, then the questioning and the rest of the proceedings will go far more beyond than we can imagine. But this youth is the only time which we can grasp this year, which we can make this possibility for us to be from the arsh. Once that passes, that chance of us being from that group has also been lost. We have to work on our youth. And as parents especially, we have to link them up with someone. We have to link them up with the ulama. We do not realize the importance of this until we see them linked up and we see the change in their life. Besides them becoming being that and the thing of them becoming pious is that you will have a better child. you will have a more obedient child. You will have a more respectful child. You will have a child that is ready and willing to do your khidmat. And when you get older, he's not looking to put you in an old age home or looking to get rid of you or ignoring you or not visiting you. He is looking at my concern now, my parents, how I can take care of my parents. If they are in the elderly age, I'll do whatever I can do because I understand the virtue of parents because we have linked them up with the ulama who have always been pushing this year. That remember your parents, remember you as a child, remember the rewards of Allah Ta'ala. So this, as we say, is too different. If you want to look at the youth, one is to address the youth directly, the challenges. One is to address the parents directly, to tell them that times are not the same and what needs to be done. But we as parents also, we have to be attached to our ulama. If our minds are not straight, then our children are not going to be straight because we're going to guide them and give them the wrong things. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding to realize that we as adults play a crucial role in the youth coming up. And the youth coming up, we have to understand that the challenges are different. And at the same time, it's no excuse for them not to be in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the best of dunya, khabar and akhirah.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana, for that inspiring message. Make dua for us. Inshallah, we meet you again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.